District of Columbia's council chairman, Phil Mendelson, says that he will impose a 2-year moratorium on bills before the council that regulate the district's businesses. That includes legislation that would establish safe nurse-patient staffing ratios in Washington, D.C. hospitals. Union nurses say they will not accept a moratorium by elected leaders on ensuring safe care for our patients. The nurses say there will be no moratorium on nurse demands for safe patient care in hospitals. Neo-Nazi white supremacist groups are emboldened by the results of the presidential election, and that's prompting media that cover these 21st century Nazis to reevaluate how the racist groups are covered. The Associated Press just released standards for reporting on the so-called alt-right movement. That's a name that's designed to normalize the presence of neo-Nazis in America who supported Donald Trump. The Associated Press urges reporters to avoid using the alt-right name unless they provide ample context about who and what these 21st century Nazis really are. Otherwise, AP says, the media risks normalizing their extreme views to a mass audience.
Brought to you by the IBEW, 725,000 men and women powering the way for an American comeback. Information on how to become an International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Power Professional is online at ibew.org.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
Brought to you by UnionJobs.com, posting jobs for unions, socially allied, and community organizations since 1997.
Workers Independent News is proud to be heard on The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Live nationwide weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. at TheUnionEdge.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
A popular pizza restaurant in Northwest Washington, D.C. was the subject of a fake internet story several months ago. Comet Ping Pong on Upper Connecticut Avenue Northwest was alleged in the fake story to be the secret location of a child sex trafficking ring involving Hillary Clinton and her campaign director. Edgar Madison Welch from North Carolina read the claims online and believed the story to be true. Yesterday afternoon, Welch showed up at the restaurant to search for victims. He was armed with an assault rifle, a handgun, a shotgun, and a knife. Welch fired at least one shot while in the restaurant, but fortunately no one was injured. He surrendered to police after searching the restaurant for 45 minutes, having found there was no evidence to support his belief. Welch is being held in jail in D.C. after a hearing earlier today and faces numerous charges, including assault with a dangerous weapon.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food and Safety Inspection Service announced today that nearly 2 million pounds of ready-to-eat chicken products are being recalled by the manufacturer, National Steak and Poultry. The chicken is being recalled due to undercooking that resulted in the potential survival of dangerous bacteria in the products. The company had previously issued recall notices, the most recent on November 30th, involving just over 17,000 pounds of chicken. The expanded recall mostly affects food service products, though some also went into the hands of consumers. A complete list of the product lot numbers and the affected products can be found at the Food Safety and Inspection Services website, which can be found at fsis.usda.gov.
Social media and technology giants Microsoft, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube announced today they intend to create a shared industry database of content they feel may somehow promote terrorism. In a news release from Facebook today, the companies announced this database would contain the hashes or unique digital fingerprints for so-called violent terrorist imagery, terrorist recruitment videos, or images that they've removed from their services. The companies say that participating companies can add their own hashes of images or videos, and other participating companies can then use those hashes to identify such content on their own services and remove the content as they deem appropriate. The companies also say that moving forward, they plan to focus on how to involve additional companies in this effort.
A new study set to be published in the peer-reviewed Geophysical Research Journal reveals that the melting of the Antarctic ice shelves is occurring much more rapidly than previously thought. The study found that the Pine Island Glacier was breaking apart from the center. Usually, glaciers break apart at the leading edge of the glacier, a process known as calving. The new research found that the Pine Island Glacier was cracking apart more than 20 miles inland from the glacier's leading edge, stunning scientists who now believe that instead of taking centuries for the West Antarctic ice sheet to break apart, it could occur within the next several decades. If all the ice in the Antarctic melted, ocean levels globally would rise by more than 200 feet. Scientists now believe that the melting Antarctic ice sheets could cause a 10-foot rise in global sea levels within the next 30 years. Confirming the rapid increase in the melting of the Antarctic ice is a new finding by NASA of a historically large rift on the Larsen B ice shelf. If the rift continues as NASA is predicting, the rift will create an iceberg larger than the state of Delaware.
A Republican member of the Electoral College from Texas said today that he will not cast his vote for Donald Trump. Christopher Supron announced his intent in an op-ed in today's New York Times, writing that, quote, electors of conscience can still do the right thing for the good of the country. If Supron carries out his plan, he would be the first elector to do so since 2004. 26 states have laws binding their electors to vote for the person who received the most votes in their particular state. Texas does not have such a law. The Electoral College casts its vote next month. Actually, I think December 19th.
And now an update from a new KBOO News segment, the White Supremacy Report.
This is Portland, Oregon's White Supremacy Report, bringing you recurring updates from the front lines of racial justice battles taking place in our community. In today's headlines, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, who mid-last month implored President-elect Donald Trump to remove chief strategist appointee and gold medal racist purveyor of misinformation, Steve Bannon, remarked last week that Trump as president is indeed, quote, scary as hell. From a Case-Shiller Home Price Index, Portland, just behind Seattle, has the fastest rising housing prices in the country at 10.9%. This increase, of course, disproportionately impacts communities of color and low-income communities, which are generally not the ones moving to town for third-wave coffee in the booming tech industry jobs. In related news, the auditor of the city of Portland released findings from a recent poll showing that residents consider the city's livability at the lowest rate since the poll's birth in 2002. The lowest ratings of livability came from residents that are 60 years old or older, make less than $75,000 a year, have been living in the same house for at least 10 years, have lower income, and are without a bachelor's degree. For more information on the poll results, head to portlandoregon.gov and select audit services. Mayor Charlie Hales announced last week that he's ordering an investigation into the brutalizing of a Black Lives Matter organizer who was assaulted by police during an anti-Trump demonstration headed by youth. Catherine Stevens, whose arrest was captured on video, is shown having her head seized by the hands of a bicycle police officer and twisted sideways as she was being handcuffed and arrested. After being arrested, Stevens was rushed to the emergency room. By now, many have heard about the Southern Poverty Law Center's report 10 days after Donald Trump's election, showing Oregon at the highest hate incident rate per capita in the country. At the time the report was released, 48 of over 850 incidents occurred in Oregon. In response, the Oregon AFL-CIO, which represents over 300,000 workers statewide, announced it will be taking measures against racism in the workplaces where it operates. This, according to the union's president, John Chamberlain, will take the form of increasing the accessibility of reporting processes and resources for racist or hate-related incidents. A couple of weeks after the election, Mayor-elect Ted Wheeler came out as being in favor of maintaining Portland's identity as a sanctuary city, which means that city, county, and state funds will not go towards federal immigration enforcement officials in their attempts to police, prosecute, and deport people who are here without documentation. This comes on the heels of Trump's announcement after being elected to withhold federal funding from cities like Portland, though many doubt that the president possesses the authority, much less the constitutional legality, to do so. Oregon Democratic Representative Alyssa Kenney-Geyer announced 2 weeks ago that she plans to reintroduce legislation that would dramatically amend Oregon's Electoral College laws, allowing for Oregon's Electoral College votes to go to the winner of the national popular vote. This comes in the wake of the presidential election when Secretary Clinton earned the popular vote by over 2 million, but lost the election, trailing Trump by over 70 electoral votes. A reform within Oregon's electoral protocol could help prevent the racist voter suppression techniques that stood in the way of voters of color and other low-income voters from casting their vote in the key states of Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. Unlawful surveillance and entrapment arguments made in defense of Mohamed Mohamud's appeal weren't enough to overturn a guilty sentence in a federal appeals court today. Mohamud, known pejoratively as the Christmas tree bomber, was arrested after an FBI sting lured him into working with undercover agents posing as terrorists to detonate a bomb that was supposedly located in Pioneer Square in Portland near a Christmas tree lighting in 2010. Mohamud, who is Somali-born and now a naturalized citizen, had not committed any crimes before he was targeted online by FBI agents for his online contacts with extremist networks. And at last, the Oregon Department of Education has agreed to do something about the chronic absenteeism rates in public schools that play a large role in perpetuating the school-to-prison pipeline. According to a report released in tandem with the announcement, racism from within the school system and racism from classmates plays a significant role in deterring students of color from attending school. Approaches to curbing chronic absenteeism include, quote, culturally sensitive practices. Those are some of the headlines that involve intersectional white supremacy in our own backyard. Tune in tomorrow for 3 in-depth stories. We'll be covering the murder of 19-year-old Larnell Bruce Jr. in August of this year at the hands of 2 white supremacists. We'll also look at the indictment of the Oregon Department of Corrections and its racial incompetence. Additionally, we'll look at information on the Salem councilman that was fired last week for posting overwhelmingly racist content on social media. We'll be speaking to the activist who is in large part responsible for generating the pressure that got him removed from his position. You've been listening to the White Supremacy Report. For KBOO News, I'm Kanan Flessinger.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Kanan Schlesinger, Jeff Anderson, Don Zur, and Al Kahn. The producer is Doug McVeigh. Special thanks to the World in Water, Labor Radio, and Free Speech Radio News. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Lisa Loving. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Ken Jones.
And I'm Jenny Yokoyama. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO at 7 a.m., it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's Abe and Joe Talk Radio. At 9, Alternative Radio interviews author Mike Marksey about his new book on Bob Dylan. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia News, Views, and Commentary. Then at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, host D-May Roberts talks to Carol Trifle and Jeremy Madmo about their show La Belle Lost in the World of Automation on Stage and Studio. Finally, at 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galvin interviews Robert Hoffman, the Vice President and CEO of the American Institute of Architects Portland chapter. Thank you very much to KBOO members for your generous support during our recent holiday drive. Not a current member, you can become one today by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate. Night, Ken.
Good night, Jenna. Good night, Danielle.
Hi, I'm John Shuck, host of The Beloved Community. This Friday, I speak with Larry Brilliant. He's a hippie doctor whose guru told him that smallpox was going to be eradicated and that this 60s radical was going to make it happen.
Because God is going to remove one form of suffering from humanity and lift the burden of this disease, smallpox, and it will be unmullen, eradicated.
Hear his story on The Beloved Community this Friday at 9 a.m. on KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Radical Chorus Workshop and Skillshare on December 11th at 3 p.m. at Revolution Hall in Portland. Led by Mo Baustern, founding member of the Amalgamated Everlasting Union Chorus Local 824, the Radical Chorus Workshop and Skillshare will define what a radical chorus is, discuss affinity groups, protests, and the effectiveness of fabulous outfits, and teach protest songs by Chumbawamba, The Frogs, Loretta Lynn, and more. Again, that's the Radical Chorus Workshop and Skillshare on December 11th at 3 p.m. at Revolution Hall, 1300 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Hello. Hi, this is Dr. Audrey Terrell. I'm sitting in for Tina Morfitt, the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. We welcome you to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class. Here on KBOO 90.7, where the heart